Good afternoon, everyone. I'd also like to acknowledge that we meet on the land of the Kaurna people and pay my respect to the elders past and present. I'm also really proud to be a member of the Chiefs for Gender Equity Group. It's one of the things that I really enjoy and think that we're making some really good differences and we are building some momentum in this state. So thank you, Nikki, for supporting us to do that. David, I have the beauty of not working in the public sector and I can say what I like. So being a former public servant, it's a beautiful feeling. And I do remember once saying to a chief exec when I was an executive director in a department here in South Australia, some of you might have been in that department, providing advice to the minister of the day and being told and said, what happened to the frank and fearless public servants that are meant to provide this frank and fearless advice? And she said, you mean frank, fearless and fired? And at that point I thought, I think I'd better leave. So here I am in the private sector and able to say what I like. So I agree, David, that we are making some progress and we need to be determined and focused to keep working on this. It's really important. It's beyond an issue of being just a basic human right, which is probably the fundamental issue here. But there are so many benefits arising from gender equality in leadership. We've seen the international Me Too movement take off this year and an intensified focus on domestic and family violence. But then we only have to see what happened recently with the replacement of our Prime Minister and the fallout of how the women MPs were treated to be disappointed again. I think that the Me Too movement, the violence against women movements are all part of the debate. They're not separate. They're actually part of the reasons why women haven't got gender equity in all parts of society. They're not as well as, they're just part of. We've still got a long way to go. The World Economic Forum's latest Global Gender Gap Report, published late last year, stated that it will take 217 years for there to be gender equality across the 144 countries surveyed. But unfortunately, that's up from 170 years established from the 170 years established in 2016. So we have gone backwards, making this the first backwards slide since 2014. It's 2004. Clearly, things need to change. I agree with David that setting the correct policy settings and frameworks is really critically important and must be done. But I think also strong action at very local level is really important and can actually make really important differences to the way policy is set. I'll use my own example. I work in a female-dominated sector of aged care. Our workforce is 82% women, but less than 10% of the CEOs across the country are women for aged care organisations, and most of them are in smaller not-for-profit organisations. In South Australia, I'm the only female CEO out of the 10 largest aged care providers. There are opportunities to appoint really good women, but it's just they're just not being selected. Another issue I have is, and I've shared this with my chiefs, hopefully I've got no board members in the room, pay issue. I consider myself to be a good negotiator and a fairly assertive woman. But recently my board did a formal remuneration review of my package, and it revealed, to my surprise and horror, that I was paid nearly $50,000 less than my peers in that top 10 group. That was very quickly rectified. But why did that happen? And I have to ask those questions of myself. Why did that actually happen? I'm not quite sure, really. Anyway, there are also some really great examples of progress being made. In my own organisation, I've seen important changes that we've made that have enabled women to be really strong and effective leaders in our organisation. We have a responsibility as leaders to make sure that in our own organisations we have policies and practices that support flexibility and that our recruitment, appointment and promotion processes also support gender equity. We also need to ensure that our workplaces are respectful and that we address inappropriate behaviours. I think this is a huge issue. I'm also always perplexed by the merit argument. It's a, perplexing one for me and probably for many of us. I'm not sure why women, I mean, we all know why women are not being provided the opportunity to even be able to demonstrate their merit. That's the issue. Women are not being able to even get to the point of being able to apply for the roles. And I did watch Q&A last week, and this week actually, and there was an argument around merit and in the context of the Wentworth by-election. And I thought it was a great comment by one of the panel members that said, after the senior politician from the Liberals said that they have a strong focus on merit, and merit is the way that, you know, people are appointed. And the comment was, well, clearly that hasn't worked when you look at the men in the Liberal Party. Are they all meritorious? I can say what I like, David. Creating respectful workplaces is one step that we can make to create environments that women want to work in. We need to ensure that diversity is valued and it's not just a numbers game, but for the true value that diversity brings in the form of diverse thinking, decision-making, generation of ideas and problem-solving. Elder Care's serious about living our values of respect, accountability and connection. And we hire and fire on those values. Every manager is accountable for ensuring that the below-the-line behaviour, and I'm looking at an ex-staff member that was integral in introducing a whole program on above and below the line behaviours in our organisation, and ensuring that below-the-line behaviour is addressed. It's really simple for people to understand what's above and below-the-line behaviour. That includes the lunchroom sexist jokes, the offhanded comments in any conversation. It's easy for somebody to say, hang on a minute, that's just below the line. It happens across our organisation. Everyone has permission to call these out. That's below the line. We have a zero tolerance to bullying and harassment and a mantra of see something, say something. Our white ribbon accreditation has also sent a clear message to all of our staff that we will not tolerate violence against women. We know we can't keep the momentum going by ourselves, but if we learn from the international movements like Me Too and we all work together, I think we can keep the momentum going. I also want to take the opportunity to acknowledge that the 25th of each month is designated as Orange Day by the UN campaign Unite to End Violence Against Women and to raise awareness about ending violence against women and girls. And the 25th of November is International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women. And from the 25th to the 10th of December, there's 16 days of activism for the Unite campaign, and we ask women, everyone, to wear orange every day for those 10 days. It does stretch the wardrobe a bit, but it's a good challenge for us all. And I'd like to finish with a quote from an article written by Aijin Vu, who's the Executive Director of the National Domestic Women's Alliance in USA. She wrote an article for the Time magazine in March this year entitled How the Fight for Gender Equality is Changing in 2018. And she was actually talking about the Me Too movement. So I'll just finish with this quote. And that's when it happened. We stopped looking up to those in power and started looking around at the women standing beside us, from different backgrounds, working in different sectors, of different ethnicities with different stories, and realising our strength is in our diversity, not our singularity, and the power that we need to claim is our own. So I'll finish there. Thank you.